Shalom to all. Today we're going to learn Masechas Chulin, Perek Aleph, Mishtavav, Mishnah Zayin. And today's Mishnah we learn B'schos Asur Bas Rachel, Shishi B'zeichet Afan Ruziv Gogon, Bikarav Mamesh. Now, two Mishnahs ago, we contrasted the Din of Shechita by an animal or a bird versus Malika, which is what's done to a bird in the Beis Hamikdash. From there, we went into list a number of other things in which we have two things that are similar yet different. So, continue this. Mishnah says, Kasher Bapara, Pasal Ba'egla, Kasher Ba'egla, Pasal Bapara. That which is Kasher by a para, which is referring to Para Duma, is Pasal by Egla, which is Egla Rufa, and that which is Kasher Ba'egla, is Pasal by a para. What's this referring to? So, the Para Duma, the red cow, the red heifer, is shechted and further processed in order to be Matahir people who became Tamei Mace, and that must be shechted like a regular animal, as opposed to an Egla Rufa, which, as is literally translated, the back of the neck is chopped with an axe. So, Shechita, which is Kasher by Para, is Pasal by Egla, and that which is Kasher by Egla, which is chopping the back of the neck, is Pasal by Para. On to another thing, Kasher by Kahanim, Pasal by Levim, Kasher by Levim, Pasal by Kayanim. That which is Kasher by Kayanim, namely, that there's no age limit of a Kayan. As long as he's able to do Avodah, he continues doing Avodah, that's Pasal with Levim. Levim were only allowed to sing in the Beis Hamikdash up until a certain age. Kasher b'Levim, namely, if they have a mum, if they have a blemish that doesn't possible them from doing avaida, that's possible by Kehanim. If they have a mum, they're not allowed to do avaida. Tahara. Now, the next two dinim have to do with Tomei and Tahara of Kelim. Pasuk delineates seven different types of Kelim, of vessels that can become Tomei. And so here we have certain differences. Tarba Kli Cheres, Tomei b'Kol HaKelim, Tarba Chol HaKelim, Tomei b'Kli Cheres. With Kli Cheres, earthenware vessels, that which is tar by them, namely, if something Tomei, for example, dead sheret, touches the outside of the kli, this earthenware kli, this kli cheres, is not tamei. That is tamei by all other kalim. If it's a metal or wood kli or something like that, if tuma touches the outside, the entire thing is tamei. And that which is tar by all kalim is tamei by kli cheres. If tuma is dangled on the inside of the kli, it's just in the airspace, but it's not actually touching the kli. It's not metame the kli, but it is metame by kli cheres. On the second din, tar b'chlei eitz, tamei b'chlei matchos. That which is tar with wooden kalim is tamei with metal kalim, and tar b'chlei matchos, that which is tar by metal kalim, tamei b'chlei eitz, is tamei with wooden kalim. When it comes to wooden kalim, we know that pshute kli eitz, flat wooden kalim, for example, a flat spatula, it's just a flat piece of wood, that is not tamei because it doesn't have a base kibble, it doesn't have a place to hold something, there's no groove or depression made in it, it's just literally a flat piece, so that's tahar. But a metal kli, even if it's flat, it's tamei. That which is tar by kli matachos, a non-finished kli, that's tamei by wooden kli. If we have a wood bowl, for example, that he started carving out, even if it's not finished, as long as the depression was made and it could technically hold something, it still is able to be mekabel toma. And lastly, for this Mishnah, hachayv b'shkidim amarim pater b'mtukim. That which is chayv with bitter almonds is pater sweet ones. Chayv b'mtukim pater marim. If it's chayv with sweet ones, it's pater with bitter ones. This refers to two different types of almonds. One when they're fully grown, they're large, they're very bitter and they can't be eaten. And the other one is the opposite. When it's fully grown, it's sweet and could be eaten. So these bitter almonds are usually eaten when they're small because they're still sweet, and it's in that stage that they're chayv and meiser. Once they become big, they're bitter, so they're not chayv and meiser. And that's what we mean by chayv b'shkidim hamarim. When they're small and they're sweet, they're chayv and meiser. So that very same stage by the sweet almonds is pater from meiser, because sweet almonds when they're small are not usually eaten, so they're not chayv and meiser. And the sweet almonds when they are chayv and meiser, namely when they're full size, if you have the same size bitter almond, which is large and it's not edible, so it's not chayv and meiser. Now we move on to Mishnah Zayin with similar dinim. Just we're going to be talking about one thing, one item, that within that one item itself, we're able to differentiate in different stages, that sometimes is this din, sometimes is that din. So the Mishnah begins with hatemed. Temed is usually translated as mead, M-E-A-D, and there's an alcoholic beverage of sorts, often made with honey. However, this one we're discussing here is some sort of wine drink. Basically, they take all the leftover grape stuff from making wine, they soak it or steep it in water, and eventually it ferments into some sort of wine-tasting drink. So the Mishnah says, atchaloy hechmet, before it fully ferments and it gets this full taste, it's actually considered water and doesn't have a din of wine, and therefore eino nikach b'kasav meiser, it's not allowed to be bought with money of meiser sheni, due to the fact that water and salt are the two things that are not allowed to be purchased with meiser sheni money. And also paisles a mikvah, it passels, it ruins a mikvah. We know that a mikvah has to be 40 sa'ah of regular rainwater. Let's say it can't be mayim sheuvim, it can't be water drawn from a tap. And if it's not 40 sa'ah yet, if we're still waiting for it to rain some more, and it's less than 40 sa'ah, and then 3 sa'ah of mayim sheuvim, 3 sa'ah of pasel water falls in, that passels the entire mikvah. And that's what we're saying. This temed, before it's machmitz, before it's fully developed into this wine-tasting drink, it's considered like water and it will passel a mikvah. However, misha hechmitz, once it does fully develop into this wine-tasting drink, nikach b'kasav meiser, it is allowed to be bought with money of meiser sheni, because it's considered like wine, ve'ino paisel se mikvah, and doesn't passel a mikvah. On to the next din, and this has to do with two separate things, meiser behema and machzah shekel. Meiser behema requires a person to take all the brand new animals born to them that year, count them 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and the 10th one is given Meiser as a carbon. Now, if we have partners who own animals, they do not have to give Meiser behema. Onto the Machzah Shekel din, we know that every single year, on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, everyone has to give Machzah Shekel, half of a shekel, and that's meant to purchase Karbonus Sibur, all the Karbonus that are brought for everybody, such as the Karbon Tamid every single day, and Karbonus Musafim of Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh, just as an example. And if a person brings a coin of a large denomination, he has to add something which is called a kolbein, which is like a smaller coin. That's machlokes what it's for, but the general idea is that it's basically for the processing fees. So that's what the Mishnah discusses. Ha'achin ha'shutfin, we have brothers who are partners. In other words, they inherited their father, they got an inheritance, so they're considered partners. So k'shechayavim b'kolbein, when they're chayav in a kolbein, meaning when they give one full shekel to be used for both their machza shekels, half is going to be for this brother and half is going to be for that brother. If it's a situation that they're going to be chayav to give a kolbein, and that would be that they actually divided all their father's Yerusha, they divided the whole inheritance, and then they just decided to rejoin as regular partners. So all their jointly owned properties and chasim and stuff is not because of the inheritance, it's because they just rejoined as partners. In that case, they have to give a kolbein. So in this situation, Pturim Meiser Behema, they're potter for Meiser Behema, because we know that partners who own animals together don't have to give Meiser Behema. And we have the flip side, Kishachayav and Meiser Behema, when they're chayav and Meiser Behema, namely when they're still considered Yarshim, they're still considered to have inherited their father, and they didn't divide the Yerusha yet, so now any new animals born are not considered like they're owned by partners, it's really just their father's estate. So they would be chayav and Meiser Behema, turn out a kolbein, they're potter from the kolbein, because this money is being considered jointly given, and they don't have to give the kolbein. On to the next din, kol makom sheyesh mecher in knas, kol makom sheyesh knas in mecher. This has to do with a young girl who we know up until a certain age is allowed to be sold by her father as an ama ivriya, as a Jewish maid servant. And we also know at a certain age, if somebody is ma'anis or mefat to her, he violates her or seduces her, he has to pay a certain kinas, a certain penalty fine. So that's the Mishnah saying that anytime there is mecher, that the father is allowed to sell the daughter, which is while she's still a ketana, before she's 12 years old. So in kinas, if someone's ma'anis or mefat to her, he doesn't have to pay kinas, because the pasuk says that only a nara, if she's above 12 years old, gets kinas, not a ketana. And the flip side is also true, if there's kinas, meaning she's a nara, then ein mecher, her father's not allowed to sell her. On to the next din, this also has to do with a young girl in regards to marriage. We know that there's a din of miyun, which is when a young girl sadly doesn't have a father. We don't want her to be hefker, we don't want her to just be running around the street and have people take advantage of her. So midirabanan, her mother or brother are allowed to marry her off. However, there's a din of miyun. If she decides, she could just walk out of this marriage and she doesn't even need a get. She could just say, goodbye, I'm leaving. Now there's also a din called chalitza, which is when we have two brothers, let's call them Reuven and Shimon, and let's say Reuven dies without children. So Shimon has a mitzvah to marry Reuven's wife, that's called Yibum, and if he doesn't want it for whatever reason, then chalitza happens, which is the act of severing the bond that they have. So that's what the Mishnah tells us. Kol makom sheyesh miyun, anytime the girl's allowed to do miyun, that's while she still is a ketana, before she's 12 years old, so ain't chalitza. If this was a chalitza situation, where Reuven died and his wife is falling to chalitza, but she's under 12, so there's no chalitza. And kol makom sheyesh chalitza, if it would be a situation of chalitza that she's over 12, ain't miyun, so in that situation, if she was already over 12, she can't do miyun, she can't walk out of a marriage that her mother or brother arranged for her. The mission continues, kol makom sheyesh tkiya, ain't havdalah, anytime that there's going to be a shofar blast, there's no havdalah, and kol makom sheyesh havdalah, anytime there's havdalah, ain't tkiya, there's no shofar blast. And here the mission itself explains, Yom Tov shechalios b'Erev Shabbos, when Yom Tov falls on Erev Shabbos, meaning Yom Tov's on Friday and it goes right into Shabbos, toikin v'loy mavdilin, they're going to blow a shofar blast Erev Shabbos to let everyone know when they have to stop doing malacha, because on Yom Tov certain malachas are allowed as opposed to Shabbos, so they're going to blow a shofar blast to let everyone know that it's almost Shabbos. And over here there's not going to be havdalah in between Yom Tov and Shabbos, because we're going from a lower to a higher kedusha, so there's no havdalah. And b'matzei Shabbos, when Yom Tov comes out of matzei Shabbos, mavdilin v'loy toikin, there's havdalah and there's no tekiya. And ketzem mavdilin, how is havdalah done? Matzei Shabbos going into Yom Tov, the way that it's said is hamavdo mikodesh lekodesh, one who makes havdalah separation between one kodesh and another kodesh, namely Shabbos and Yom Tov. We don't say hamavdo mikodesh lechol, because Yom Tov isn't chol. Now Reb Daisa says it's different. We say ben kodesh chamer lekodesh hakal, the one who's mavdil between a chamer kodesh, which is Shabbos, to a slightly less kodesh, which is Yom Tov, and the halacha is not like him, because that's a zilzal, that's a degradation to Yom Tov to call it a kodesh kal. Therefore we just say ben kodesh lekodesh. We're going to stop it for the day and pick up tomorrow with Perek Beis, Mishnah Aleph and Beis, going back to discuss Shechita. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.